BBC Good Food Show Winter is back at the NEC, and what better way to kick it all off than a chat with the brilliant Cyrus Toddywaller. Cyrus, really good to see you. You are looking very, very well.
Thank you very much. I hope I'm looking well after last night's drive down from London, which was horrific.
The weather was awful, wasn't it? I do hope the weather's going to get
better. Well, the weather was bad. The traffic was even worse. And then there was a flooding nearby, so the roads were closed off and we got the wrong turn.
Ah, you're here now, which is great, and you're bringing a smile to the faces of hundreds of people. I know there's been a huge crowd already for you this morning.
It was fantastic.
Cooking on stage. We'll talk about the show in general in a moment, but tell us what you've already cooked today. What have you been demonstrating?
So I'm doing game all day today because I think it's very important that we publicise more game to the British public. We just don't eat enough game, and we have vast resources of it. So I did a... what we know of as the predecessor of the Scotch egg, which is called the Nergisi Kofte, which is originally from Persia and then came into Indian cuisine, is a mixed game kofta. So I had mallard, I had grouse, and I had pheasant. And I minced the three with spices, and I had soft-boiled egg stuffed inside, made fresh crumbs, crumbed it, fried it, and made a sauce with tomato, yogurt, and nuts. And then we put the sauce and we put the eggs on top of the sauce. It was just beautiful.
I'm salivating just listening to you talk about it. And I've seen the pictures in the programme. They look fantastic. Which begs a really important question for people who want to have something different to eat this Christmas. Maybe they're fed up of turkey, or maybe they just don't want turkey. I mean, I know you've got a brilliant vegetarian cookbook out, haven't you? But what other things might people have at Christmas that you could suggest? Adds a little bit of spice to their Christmas day.
I think the British public need to look more at our game as well. So game is festive. It's festive. And I'm on the festive stage. And game is something that is actually fully in season now. So pheasant, for example, will go out only in February. So until then, we've got a vast plethora of good game. And if you're scared, like people are scared, they're afraid that what will happen? I might overcook it. Game becomes dry. It is stringy. It may have a smell. They don't like the smell. Put spices on it. Make a kofta. I'm going to make a pheasant tikka later. I'm going to do a fried venison kebab. And then also I've got rabbit to be cooked. So, you know, it's all there. Rabbit, venison, wild boar. We get throughout the year.
Yeah. And all of these meats, of course, are high in protein and low in fats, aren't they?
Very low in fat, high in protein, high in antioxidants. Cheap, lean, and extremely nutritious and abundant. That's the best part of it. So if people have any problems, you know, people can always email me or Instagram me and I'll answer their questions and hopefully excite more people onto looking at what else Britain has to offer. But then, of course, we've got our farming communities which we need to support. So there's lots of stuff there. Yeah. But a good, you know, I mean, people have gone off eating goose, unfortunately, which is more traditional.
Maybe it's too expensive.
And very little meat for the bird, I mean, we've got great stuff in this country.
Yeah. And people are looking for good value at the moment, aren't they?
Yes.
We'll touch on that in a moment. I was really struck walking around the show first thing this morning at how many producers of food there are here whose base is Indian, Asian, Persian cooking with lots of spices. And it just feels like there's a... I mean, we've always loved Indian, what we call Indian food, whether it comes from Bangladesh, Pakistan, wherever it might come from. But it just feels like there's a big resurgence at the moment.
I think there is no better time than today in the minds of the British public. As I tell people, and they don't believe me when I say that, in Britain today, we have the most discerning palates in the world because we have the whole world melting in our country. And because it's melting here, we are exposed to all these cultures. You couldn't go to Goa or you couldn't go to India and ask for Persian food just like that. It wouldn't be there, but you can in Britain. And it's getting better and better. The thing with spice is that Britain has had a long marriage, over 300 years. Of marriage with spices and gradually coming in. The Romans brought the first spices 1,000 years ago, and they brought the first nutmeg and the first cinnamon to this country. And that love has grown over the years. Now it's so easily accessible. Recipes are plenty to take your attention from. And it just makes food a little bit more inspiring and exciting. Plus, The great thing about using spice is great for the digestive system and it's great for the body. So why not use more of it? Why not, you know, indulge in it and make the best of it?
BBC Good Food Show is, it's like a magnet attracting people who like all sorts of different foods and drinks. And there are a lot of exhibitors here, again, this year, who have perhaps changed direction because of the pandemic. Yeah. And they've put their heart and soul now into producing some brilliant produce.
Yeah.
It's a really good way of meeting the producers coming to a show like this, isn't it?
It's always been, actually. Yeah. And I think from what we saw a little bit, I'll get more chance to do some going around now. Is people like to ask questions. And I think the producers are now there to ask questions. They used to be very shy before. I don't see that shyness anymore. Yeah, they're more interactive. And I think interaction is the best because you are actually talking to your customer now. And that's the most important thing. I know the pandemic has changed a lot of stuff. People have gone online shopping a lot more. And that has opened up a whole world for British producers because now producers are dependent on someone else to pick up all their stuff and pass it on, are now directly accessing the public. And the public is, I think, getting the best of it because you can get the best meat, the best vegetables, the best fruits, the best produce, the best, ciders, the best beers, the best wines. You get everything you can get direct access to your customer, to your producer.
Go into any bookshop in the UK, go to the cookery section and look for the Indian food, the generic Indian food, and there are hundreds of cookbooks, of which yours are there and hopefully selling very, very well. A lot of people, though, are put off at having a go at Indian cooking at home because the list of spices is long.
Yes.
You have to be patient. You have to let the masala and the oil separate. Don't you can tell I cook at home. Top three tips, Cyrus, for people looking to cook at home. I mean, a lot of people want to replicate what they have in the restaurants, which
Absolutely.
Isn't always possible, though, is it?
It's not always possible because bulk cooking and small cooking is different. You're talking about people changing direction. Cyrus Todibola changed direction. My recipes were full of ingredients. Now my books are all with the title Simple, and they're one-page recipes. And I try to use my mind to see how I can simplify the process, at the same time get as much flavor out from a handful rather than from 20. And it's working very well, which is exactly what I did today for the demo. I showed people how easy it was to create a lovely sauce, which then can be adaptable to seafood, to chicken, to poultry, to game. And I think this is where people are learning more and more. And the most important thing, when people open a cookery book, they should just open a page. And if they like it, read the recipe as you're reading a text. Not to think how I'm going to cook it. Read it. Put a bookmark, close it, put it away. Come back to it half an hour later, and the recipe will just evolve in front of your eyes. And then you put it together, add your own little touch to it. You don't have to go crazy, go to the shops and buy every single thing in there. Use as much as you can, and use what you're comfortable with. You may not like a particular spice. You may not like a particular condiment. You may not like the use of something that's in there. Drop it. Make it your own, and you will be more successful than trying to stick and adhere to it completely.
Just watching you describe that process to me, your passion for food, ingredients, and cooking comes through. And I know that educating other people, young people who might want to come into the industry and take up what you do for a living, is really important to you as well, isn't it?
Extremely important. Because if we don't leave a legacy behind, if we don't teach, then we have wasted our lives. Honestly. And if I can't impart more knowledge on my kind of cooking to young people, then it doesn't continue. It just dies in textbooks and cookery books. So we have embarked on a mission. We did actually open a school, which unfortunately, due to lack of support, we had to close down. But then we looked at trying to get hold of people who already wanted to become chefs. And now we are inspiring them into looking at Asian food as a whole. And we launched a very successful competition nearly 10 years ago called Zest Quest Asia. And it's really taken off. And of course, we have to work very hard. We need sponsors all the time because we take the students to Asia for 10 days. The winning team goes and they get then inspired by the local food, the culture, the aromas, the markets, the senses, and they get training. And this comes back into them then wanting to create more and get more enthusiastic. And I think it's a good way to make young people more inspired, to look beyond the norm and reach out to the world, because that's what we have in Britain today, a melting pot of the entire world coming into one little country.
BBC Good Food Show Winter is the run-up to Christmas. It feels festive, it smells festive, doesn't it? Now, Christmas in a lot of households in the UK usually involves leftovers.
Yes.
Now, what can people... I mean, there's turkey soup, there's turkey yep. omelette. Turkey curry comes up a lot, doesn't it? A generic sort of... What would you do with leftovers at home? So you've got all the usual veg, the trimmings bits, the turkey. What a simple thing for Boxing Day. If everybody goes out for a walk to clear their heads, they come back and they say, right, Cyrus has said we should do this.
I'll tell you what. This is a very, very regular question. And I know everybody that we know has leftovers. And I always tell them, why don't you make fritters? Why don't you make kebabs? Why don't you just mince it all up? Have a food processor in the house. Grind it all down. Make little fritters and enjoy them as canapés the next day. And they're very, very tasty when everything comes together. Even your sprouts will taste good. Even your sprouts will taste good when they come together with, you know, meats and all over. So I think people just have to use a bit of imagination. I know we can make tons of sandwiches, and you've got ham and you've got gammon and you've got everything left over. But there are ways and means to tidy them up and make them better the next day. Research. You can make some curry and then drop things into it. You can make fritters. You can fry them. You can grill it. I mean, omelette, first thing in the morning. You know, gammon omelette is fantastic with some green chili and fresh coriander. But there's hell of a lot people can do. It's all that they have to do is think about it. But the most important thing people must remember, don't keep it outside from afternoon to late night and then think of refrigerating, because that's not good. As soon as you finish eating, think about cooling the food down. Think about chilling it down. If the weather's good, put it on your balcony. It'll chill down very quickly. We do that all the time. And then we pack it in containers and put it in the fridge, because then you have food that will last you. And I think health is very important. People must be mindful of that as well.
And with food being so expensive now, there's a lot in the newspapers and in the media about how the cost of food is going up. We see egg rationing at the moment. Goodness me, don't we? People are looking for good value.
Yep.
Slow cookers and slow cooking is very much in vogue now, isn't it? I mean, that can apply to the type of food that you cook as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think people can explore a bit more when people explore lots with pasta. But rice is very, very, very versatile. And one of the things I'm going to start doing is showing people how to stretch rice and make it into a full meal, rather than just an accompaniment, rather than just a side dish, that rice is going with my this or my that or my that, but make rice the main hero of the dish, for example. And I think it's a cheap ingredient that can feed a lot of people, nutritious, low on the glycemic index, depending on the kind of rice you buy, healthy, and you can make a lot of different things with rice. So I think it's just how people get more, inspired. To cook. So you got leftover turkey, you got ham, you got gammon. Make a jambalaya. It's a classic old rice dish.
A kachari, which is also brilliant. Yeah. And it's easy to do.
Absolutely.
Just on that rice point, it's a big divide, isn't it? It's a bit like roast potatoes at Christmas. Yeah. Everybody's got their own recipe. Cooking rice, boil it up, strain it off, wash it off, rinse the basmati rice first, absorption method where you put the lid on. Come on, what's the best way of cooking rice?
The best way is the Todiwala way.
Right? Always, always.
And I've got Mrs. Todiwala to nod. because people get so confused. Absorption, but cook it in the oven. So you saute the whatever base you want, shallots, onions, whatever that you add. We add whole spices, then we add onions. Then we add water, 1:2. So if you're using a good quality rice, you don't have to soak it for hours. Wash it nicely and then just soak it for a little while. Drain it, let it remain wet. Let it remain wet so it absorbs a bit more water, then it puffs up better. And then you add water. So 1:2. If you're making basmati rice or most rice, 1:2. 100 grams of rice, 200 ml of water or stock. And bring it to the boil in the water. Add all the flavoring you want inside that water or stock. Once it's boiling and you've got a little bit of flavor, pour your rice inside. Gently stir it for 2 or 3 minutes till it starts to absorb. As soon as the rice is nearly absorbed, your oven should be at 130 to 140 degrees. clean the edges of the pan so no rice is sticking on the edge. Take it into the water barrel. Lid into your oven. Shut the door. 10, 15 minutes later, turn the oven off and forget about it for half an hour. And your rice will come out as good as any restaurant, but better.
Top, top tip. BBC Good Food Show Winter is at the NEC until Sunday. BBCGoodFoodShow.com, the website where you can get more information and book tickets. Cyrus, it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up
with you again.
Just one final question. You celebrate Christmas at
home. We celebrate everything.
So have you sent your list, your letter to Santa? What have you asked for Christmas?
My goodness me. What have I sent to Santa? Nothing.
This is Tony Waller's laughing in the corner.
That's my Santa sitting there. Well, actually, we haven't said anything because we are in the process of re-establishing a new restaurant, new location.
Yeah.
So it's been a hard, hard, hard battle for us. We just need more people to come through so we can live through the next year. But what do we know? More friends. If I have anything to ask for is to be with all my friends and my family. And there's nothing better than friendship in this world.
I couldn't agree with you more. I hope you get your wish for Santa this Christmas. Cyrus, pleasure to see you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much. Have a super day.